How's it, listeners? It's me, Ronnie, and Nick's asked me to introduce it because he's bored and doesn't like any of our listeners.
Actually, I asked you to introduce it as a consolation prize for not finishing in the top 10 of the URC, but you know, we'll go with your story, Ronald.
You know, you're so comfortable mentioning the fact that I finished outside the top 10, but you finished outside the top 650.
Miss by an inch, miss by a mile, my friend. We're both not in the top 10.
You're such an idiot. Okay, carry on. Why don't you just do the introduction?
Yeah, no. Well, yeah, guys, welcome back for this episode. You can hear Ronnie's here and like a chirpy Tuesday evening when we're recording. And it's because it's Bock Test week. The Springboks are taking on the Irish. It's full-blown, rugby-packed, international rugby weekend. Have you seen how many games are on, Ronnie?
There are a lot of games on. It's that season. It's test window. So they start early in the morning. Is that right?
Yeah. So I think the first one is at like 6 a.m. here and the last one is at 10 p.m. So if you time it right, guys, you can spend 24 or close to that watching rugby on Saturday.
I love how you were so confident in that. And then your math let you down and you're like, well, you can spend close to 24 hours watching it.
Yeah, you got me there, Ronnie. I have to admit to that. So I had a lacquer chilled weekend. I didn't do much. Unfortunately, I didn't go on Cormorant Spry, but good to chill out because I'll be traveling the next 3 weeks to watch the box, this time without you, Ronald. How does that feel?
Well, I'm sending my dad. He will be making sure that you behave. So there's that.
Yeah, Ralph and Opa will be with me this weekend. So we're going with the Bullies to go watch the game. It's going to be lack of fun. I think we're going to have so much more fun without you, to be honest, Ronnie. We don't have anyone telling us where to go and what to do.
We both know that's a joke, eh? That's an absolute joke. You're Mr. Go here, go there, sit down, everyone stand up, go to the bathroom now, person. But yeah, I also had an all right weekend. My weekends are limited to Sundays. I work on Saturdays, you know, some of us really have to work hard. You know, we're not lazy lawyers.
Yeah, the rest of us just work smart.
Okay, Joe Schmidt. But yeah, so I watched the cricket, unfortunately, on Saturday. That didn't work out for the South Africans. We really dropped the ball there in the end. And then I watched, obviously, the rugby, which was fantastic. Under-20s played. There's also a little bit of the Euros happening. Germany played Denmark. Glad to see the Germans winning that one through to the semifinals for that. And what else? What else did I do? I did absolutely nothing else other than watch sport on the weekend. Oh, I took an electric bicycle. I rented an electric bicycle. 19 Rand is what it worked out to for, 29 minutes. And I went around and I looked at the ocean from one side of town. And then I went to the other side of town and I looked at the ocean there. And it looked pretty similar. So
looked like an ocean.
Yeah.
So an electric bike, do you have to pedal it? Or has it got like a throttle?
That's what you call a motorbike, you idiot.
But what's an electric bike then?
It's like a help my truck. You pedal, but it's like pedaling on the beginner's mode. You go up the hill. If you stop pedaling, the bike will die out. But it makes pedaling a hell of a lot easier. But it is unfortunate because it's kind of like you feel like you're spinning. You know, on a bicycle when you go to that gear and you just spin and you're going nowhere. You drop, 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 and this thing, the motor's doing the rest. So, yeah. Anyways, it also governs you, so you can't go blistering down the road here, which is what I wanted to do. It governs your speed.
Rogue Ronnie on his electric bicycle. That would make for a lack of laugh. Well, Ronnie, should we then just dive straight in? Because Springboks versus Ireland doesn't get bigger than this. Well, it does, the World Cup final between the Springboks and the All Blacks, but this is a big
one. This is South Africa's got obviously a bit of a blemish on its record in recent history, and we hope to set that straight. And then the Irish are obviously very angry at us. I don't know what for. We're lovely people, so I don't know why they. So it's a big one.
Have you seen the new original song released by Jonathan or Radio Raps in Your Head? Brilliant. By Russi Erasmus or with Russi Erasmus? Quite an original song, hey.
Excellent. Excellent song. It's so catchy. You know, some of the things he said, it actually had me laugh out loud. You know, not just the forceful nose exhale that we usually do when someone sends a funny meme. I actually laughed out loud. That was a brilliant song.
It really, really was. The Irish are going to hate us so much more after this. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, for some reason, they are not happy about the fact that we've, you know, created our own version of a zombie by the Cranberries called Rossi. So, yeah, I think there's, hopefully we keep things in check and civil.
Yeah, I feel bad for them this weekend at Loftus because, unfortunately, that is going to be ringing out there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's already, like, most of the games at the moment, they play a bit of Rossi during the breaks. So I can only imagine now with the Irish there how much they're going to blast that.
So before we get on to the Springbok team that's been named and all of the stats and all of that, Ronnie, did you see Rossi's press conference from today? Because his shithousery was top class.
No, I haven't watched anything today, but I've watched all of the press conferences leading up to today.
He chirps Eben Etzebeth in the interview in front of all the cameras. He's like, yeah, we had our first training camp in January with all the players and we were out on the field and we said, you know, guys, get to your position. And then I looked up and saw all the Sharks players behind the posts. Rossi says that in the interview. And then...
Oh, classic Rossi.
They ask him, you know, what will Jacques' influence have been on the Irish team? And Rossi's like, Jacques phones me every night and tells me everything they're doing. I know it all.
Oh, I can't wait for this recording to be done now. So I'm going to watch that conference.
Rossi is having an absolute blast with the media. It is so funny. They asked him, what do you think the Irish team is like now without Johnny Sexton? And he goes, well, I think the ref has it easier.
Honestly, the press conferences coming out of the Springbok camp at the moment are fantastic. I mean, the one I watched yesterday with Grant Williams and Jakub Peyper, and who's our new attack coach? What's his name? Tony Brown. The three of them had a press conference, and I also thought that was brilliant. Jakub Peyper, you know, very insightful. As well, saying, you know, referees being in camp is not a new thing. But his role seems to be quite new and quite young, and the science behind having a permanent referee on staff is new. And, you know, one of their goals was, you know, they want to change the relationship between Springboks and referees and how to train in such a way that they make the referee's job a lot easier, not giving away stupid penalties. Yeah, you are going to give away penalties, but as long as it's not stupid. So, the press conference is coming out of there. Awesome.
Yeah, and it's really lucky that we get to hear from such a variety in the squad. You know, you're getting big name players, small name players, different coaches. So you're constantly getting this barrage of different information, which really makes the team feel, you know, like it's part of you. And I don't know if you saw, Ronnie, but really, really great news. The SABC has secured viewership rights for the Springboks versus Ireland series. So everyone will be able to watch it.
Yeah, but I heard that, but we need somebody to clarify that because it's my understanding that it's a 2-hour delayed broadcast.
I didn't hear that. That would be disappointing.
Yeah, no, if that would be disappointing because, yeah, no, it's, yeah.
So, Ronnie, the Springbok 23 was named by Dr. Erasmus today, but before we dive right in, there's a couple of players missing from both teams that I think we just need to remind the listeners of. In the Irish squad, they're missing a couple of big-name players in Jamison Gibson-Park, scrum half, big, big loss to them, being called the best nine in the world at the moment by some. Jack Conan, he's staying behind for the birth of his baby. That's a big loss to the Irish loose trio. Flum, Stephen Kitsoff, huge loss to the Springbok scrum. I mean, he's got a wealth of experience in that team. The youngster, Kanan Moody, also not available due to injury. Then the Irish are missing Hugo Keenan, their star fullback. He's currently trying to get it with Ireland in the sevens at the Olympics. Ian Henderson, figure of that Irish lineout, also missing. Damian Willemse, probably the biggest missing player from the box, I would say. His absence is going to be huge. Jean Klein, also out injured. The former Ireland, now Springbok World Cup winning lock. I just had to throw that in there. Dwayne Thorfinnmullen, he retired. Johnny Sexton, retired. And then Ranas, Dion Fury out injured. So quite a number of big-name, talented players not available here, Ronald.
You also missed Mac Hansen.
Mac Hansen.
Yeah, also not traveling. So yeah, it's an interesting one. Big names left out, but you know those that remain are big names themselves, right? So there's a couple of positions, obviously, that you know maybe still young, but the majority of both sides are very experienced and you know very capable.
No, they are, Ronnie, exactly like you've said. And I mean, talking about experience, this Springbok side named is the second most experienced team ever put out on paper. The only one that was more experienced was the World Cup final team from 2023 when we beat the All Blacks. 966 test caps in the starting 15, Ronnie.
It's a good and a bad thing, right? So if we look at this game in isolation, this series coming up, this is a very good thing. We want that experience. It's obviously very important. But if we're looking towards the future, you know, this looks with our players a little bit aged. Yeah, but with that said, you know, Rassie said when he joined the team 2018, it's time to let the guys have some depth or build some depth, let the guys get some game time. And he's done exactly that because, you know, honestly, we've got a lot of depth. We've got a lot of players that can play, that cover a lot of positions. And it's exciting if you're a Springbok fan.
Yeah, I mean, so that's 563 caps in the forward pack, Ronnie, 403 in the back line, and an additional 182 caps on the bench. That's incredible. Honestly, it's a very experienced side. And I think it shows, you know, we have talked about building depth and you just mentioned it, but this Irish series is one we want to win. And Rassie's relying on his experienced side to get the job done, you know. And so I'm very excited to see that. Vili Leroux, 6 caps away from becoming a centurion for the box.
That's, yeah, good for Vili, right? So he's had his ups and downs, and we've obviously also, we've questioned his position in the team before many years ago. But he's well deserving. Like he's one of the stalwarts now. Like he's been around, and he's been around again. And 6 away from being a centurion, you know, well bloody done to him.
Yeah, I think he's a deserving player to get that. And anyone that doubts Vili's ability should just ask a Bulls fan how they feel about last weekend's loss to Glasgow. Because I promise you they'll think they would have won it had Vili been present. And Ronnie, an interesting fact I also saw about this squad is that only Quagga and Ox in the forward pack have less than 69 test caps. That's unreal, hey? This feels like the All Blacks class of like 2013, 2014, 2015.
Yeah, that's a very impressive figure. And yeah, look, what more can we say? We've already said it's so experienced and it's just what you want for a series like this. And we know when this series is done, maybe we can send some of those guys into retirement. Hopefully not.
So Ronnie, Sasha Ngomazulu, as predicted, he's done enough to earn his spot in the Springbok 23 for a massive clash against Ireland. What do you think of his ability to fulfill that utility role that Damian Willems has done so well?
I don't want to see Sasha become a utility back though, right? It's a good thing for him to gain a bit of experience across a number of positions. So that's obviously important. Damian Willems is very useful as a utility back. We can rely on him in a number of positions. But specifically with Sasha, I want to develop him into the world's best 10. And I think he's got it. And I think if we take care of him and we train him up well and we make him specialist 10, specialist world-class 10, you know, we're in for something huge.
You know, I want to disagree with you because I think the utility role is something Rassie values very highly in his players. So I think it's something he's trying to harness out of Sasha. But the prospects of this young backline taking us through the next 4 years, where your 10, 15, and utility player like Sasha are all plying their trade at the Stormers, also makes a nice spine for that backline to run off.
You know, that's only for the moment, right? So anything can happen between now and the next World Cup. You know, these guys can move clubs, go overseas. You know, we must think like the World Cup's just around the corner. We're only at the start of the new cycle. So anything can happen. But as it stands, having them all at the Storm is absolutely very beneficial for them to become familiar, get used to one another. We've seen the benefits of having so much of our front row playing together, say at the Sharks or wherever it may be, and the guys forming, you know, very tight, very strong units, and then that flowing over into the Springbok team. So yeah, you're spot on.
Ronnie, and then a big opportunity handed to young front rower Gerard Steenekamp. He's going to be in that bench role, you know, part of the bomb squad. We have gone for a 6-2 split. Interesting for me that he was favored over Trevor and Thomas Dutoy. Both can play loose and tight head. But, you know, this shows Rassie's intention to build depth as well.
Agreed, building depth and, you know, giving some of the newcomers a chance, you know, sprinkled throughout the season, right? So he's not going to play them all at once or maybe for games like Portugal, sure. You know, but, you know, this is a valuable experience playing against, you know, a top side like Ireland, a very powerful side like Ireland. So, look, I also don't think he would have put Gerard Steenkamp in if he didn't believe in him. So I'm backing him, and I think, yeah, good for him. Let's see what he can do.
Ronnie, being an eighth man yourself, what do you make of the call to put Quagga at eight?
Brilliant. No, I like Quagga. Quagga can play anywhere. I think Quagga could play tight head prop, and I'd be happy with that. So, you know, as long as Quagga's in the side, I'm very happy. Although, I do kind of favour Quagga off the bench, right? So it's the same with Malcolm Marks. You know, when the game's broken up and you know, things are getting a bit loose at the back end of the game, you send in Quagga, you send in Malcolm Marks, and they just tear the opposition to shreds. So, yeah, look, getting a starting role, he's not going to let us down, and that's fine by me. And this is not a game where we want anybody to let anybody down.
Yeah, it was interesting for me that we didn't go for a specialist eight. My predicted squad, I had Ivan Roos there. Not that I think he's the best option for the role, but I did think we would go for a specialist. Like you say, we actually just want Quagga on the field. Doesn't matter where, but you want that workhorse on the pitch. Ronnie, 20 World Cup winners out of the 23. 20 of these guys were in France last year. It's a high, high number. It's only Sasha. Who else is there for that's new? Gerard Steenkamp and Salman Murat. Those are your only three new additions to the side instead of the World Cup squad players from last year.
Yeah, I know we've said it already. You want this experience against Ireland now because we have a point to prove. And we're up against it. And Ireland's not going to be, Ireland's definitely not easy. And, you know, it's a toss up really because it's two world class sides. And so you want World Cup winners, you want your experienced players there because this is. Outside of the World Cup final, this is as big as it gets.
What about the absence of Lucanio you know, once being raved as the greatest 13 that the Boks have had, this great playmaker. Now,
yeah,
obviously, but Jesse's done nothing to lose the jersey, so yeah. I predicted Jesse to be there, but it's definitely an interesting competition in the squad now for that 13 shirt.
Yeah, look, Lucanio's definitely a bit rusty. He's been injury prone now for a couple of months, years, whatever it may be. He's been in and out of the side, various injuries, and he's definitely rusty. Jesse has done nothing to tell us that he shouldn't be the 13. So let's put it that way. Jesse's done a fantastic job at 13 and deserves the 13 jersey. It's a case of whether Lucania coming back from his various injury stints can usurp Jesse, and I don't know if that's the case at the moment. But you're right, Lucania's a brilliant player. I was very worried when he went down the first time. And I don't think it's whether you play Lucanio or whether you play Jesse. It's much of a muchness. Those are two brilliant players. And you're gonna be good either way, whichever way you go.
Yeah, and I mean, full credit to Jesse. He had an incredible World Cup in France last year. So rights to that jersey currently definitely belong to him. Ronnie, Gerry Flannery, former Irish player. He is now in the Boks coaching setup. How do you think that's going to go for him this weekend?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, right? I always find it fascinating how these coaches from other countries end up coaching against their former teams and things like that. But, you know, it's a professional setting, right? You expect these guys to put all their, you know, they're getting paid, they're getting big salaries, so all their effort into the team that they're actually coaching. I'm sure he would have spilled, you know, probably told some secrets. I think it would be naive of us to think that they don't spill secrets. But that's the nature of the beast. So, yeah, look, he's also gonna feel honor, right? A little bit of honor of going up against your team that represents your home nation. You know, it's a challenge, right? And you know, if Ireland was a walkover, I don't think it would be as honorable as I think it's gonna be this weekend.
No, absolutely, Ronnie. And then despite what the Irish media would love you to think, the Boks have won 18 games. And lost 9 and drawn 1 against Ireland. So the Boks have a 64.2% win rate. Yes, they've lost the last few, which have all taken place in Ireland. But we were there at the last one in South Africa in PE when we beat Ireland. So bring it on, Irish. Let's do it here on home soil and let's go toe-to-toe.
We were at that game when CJ Stunder knocked up Pat Lambie. That's what happened.
And Faf de Klerk made two epic try-saving tackles, one on each wing. It was the start of Faf's career.
It was 8 years ago.
Yeah, that's unreal.
That was
time flies.
Bongi's debut.
Yeah. How crazy is that?
That's the last time they played in South Africa. Okay.
So, Ronnie, we've then got a lot of other rugby coming on. Let's start with Friday and let's just do some predictions here. So, Samoa versus Italy, 6 a.m. kickoff, the game taking place in Samoa. Who's taking it?
It has to be Samoa. It's a big travel over there to the islands. So, look, I'll favor the home side here.
I think Italy's going to pull it off. Their squad is young, exciting, and we'll have to see with the coaching shakeups that have taken place there in Samoa. Then Georgia hosting Fiji at 6 p.m. on Friday night. What's your call?
I think Georgia's proven themselves in various competitions now and various age groups. They are definitely a force to be reckoned with, but so is Fiji. So this is going to be a hotly contested match, but I think Georgia, I'd favor Georgia for the win here.
Yeah, and here I am going to be different to you, Ronnie, and I'm going to back the Fijians in this one. I think they looked exciting ahead of the World Cup, and I think this is one they should have in the bag. Over to Saturday, Ronnie. A very early start if you want to watch this one. 2 a.m. The USA are taking on Romania. What is your prediction there?
This is a toss-up for me, honestly. Yeah, I think the USA have got something to prove, you know, after falling out of World Cup. What's the term? Not making the World Cup top 20 last year. So, look, Romania is going to be up against it in the USA. But, look, I think some of those Romanian players, you know, they play in various leagues, top 14, for example, so they're not walkovers as well. So, yeah, I'm actually going to favour the USA here.
Okay, there we go. I'm also going to back the USA. I think they have a point to prove with the World Cup hosting that they're going to be doing in two tournaments' time. Then 9 a.m., Ronnie, or 9:05, the All Blacks take on England. You know, England fresh off the back of beating Eddie Jones's Japan will arrive there with some confidence. Reza, first one up for him. Is his coaching style going to have taken with the players? What sort of form are they going to be in? But most surprising for me, Ronnie, Joe Marler and Dan Carlos.
Yeah, the Madalas, they have that side. Honestly, I don't understand how they are still in the side. But look, they are big men, they're strong men, they're hard men. But yes, they are old now.
They are. Also, first one for Scott Barrett as captain of the side. So all that in mind, Ronnie, who's taking it?
This is a difficult one, right? I think I want to back England because I think the All Blacks are disjointed, because I think there's been a lot of disruption. But honestly, you make a mistake if you don't back the All Blacks. So All Blacks should take this.
Yeah, I agree with you, Ronnie. I think the All Blacks are going to take the whole series. I don't think the English are going to get a single win while they're over there. It may be a coaching shakeup, but there's just too much class in that New Zealand squad. Then Wallabies versus Wales. It's kind of a different or an interesting one because the Welsh have done very poorly recently with Warren Gatland back in charge. The Wallabies now under the guidance of Joe Schmidt. Sad to see Kirtley Beale rupturing his Achilles in a game at the weekend, so he's not playing. Who's taking this one, Ronald?
Yeah, this is a 50-50 call. I think this is honestly one of the best matchups that World Rugby put together here for us. It could go either way, but I'm gonna believe that Joe Schmidt's had a bit of an impact over there. So I'm gonna back the Wallabies, just purely because of the inexperience in the Wales side.
Then Ronnie, over to Argentina, where Los Pumas host France at 9 p.m. I'm backing Argentina in this one. France have taken 22 uncapped players on this tour. They're not taking this seriously. And I really hope Los Pumas get the job done and done well.
Agreed. I hope the French get a big hiding because of what they've done.
Then last one up for Saturday, Canada versus Scotland, 10 p.m. kickoff. I'm backing Scotland to give Canada a bit of a blixum here.
I think a bit of a blixum sounds about right.
Lekker. Then, Ronnie, rumor mill, Jasper Visser not coming back to South Africa, not moving around in England or the top 14. He has signed in Japan and will be playing in League One next year. So that's another Springbok in that competition. On the loose forward trio, Michael Hooper. He's retired. Cheers to the Hoops. That was a player I loved watching and a fantastic star of Wallabies rugby.
Should have bowed out after playing in another World Cup last year. So, yeah, he was a brilliant player. And I agree. I enjoyed watching him.
And then, Ronnie, did you realize the Curry Cup kicks off this weekend?
I did realize that, but it did kind of catch me off guard just a couple of days ago. I was like, here we go again.
Yeah, so guys, keep your eyes tuned to Pundit's page because Belinda's just done an interview with Neil Powell and Joey Mangalo from the Sharks about the Currie Cup and the upcoming season and their thoughts on its relevance in SA rugby. So that article will be coming out this week. And then Ronnie, just to round it off, the May Fokchom moment of the week. A top 14 win for Toulouse, making it their third double crown in their history. What an achievement.
Yeah, Toulouse, fantastic French side. Yeah, they win a lot. And a little bit jealous here as a Sharks fan. A Bulls fan.
Yeah, hey, forgetting your allegiance there, Ronnie. But yeah, for a side with lose in their name, they don't seem to do that very often. Well, guys, that's it for today's episode.
Thanks for joining for the banter and staying for the chat. May Fokchom, that was luck.
Make sure you smash that like button and subscribe on your preferred listening platform so you won't miss a moment of the madness.
Catch you back here next Wednesday.